Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We continue our discussion as we try and plot and understand the way forward. Once the cornerstone of international diplomacy in the Middle East, the idea of a two-state solution seems to me to be more like a relic than a roadmap. But is it dead or is it just dormant? To explore whether the two-state solution is still viable and what conditions would need to exist to revive it, I'm joined by Dr. Joel Parker. He's a researcher at the Moshe Dayan Center for the Middle Eastern and African Studies at Tel Aviv University. A very good morning. Thank you for joining us. Is there a practical path left to a two-state solution that was once envisioned?
I mean, the thing is, you could go back and pick up the pieces from Oslo. There was a roadmap. There was a path. There were people on both sides, but especially the Israeli side, who were training Palestinian Authority police and were trying to, you know, create the state from the ground up in the West Bank, for sure, and Gaza as well. I think that, you know, extremism, Islamic extremism, Hamas specifically, and to some extent, perhaps some of the lack of will on the, let's just say, the Netanyahu government side for a two-state solution has kind of left everything by the wayside. So you could pick it up. You could go back. There are people who are still alive who were literally training Palestinian police to be professional. But, you know, there's also the issue of terrorism in the West Bank, and a lot of Israelis who look very closely at the details will say, you know, many terrorist attacks, even this year, literally in 2025, not connected to Hamas, were carried out by Palestinian Authority police officers who have a gun and decided to use it against, let's just say, Jews. And so there's this kind of idea that, like, even the best of the best, you know, people who are vetted and trained, do we want to give them just, you know, more sovereignty, more ability to, I mean, if okay, let's just say if the framework for their on their Palestinian side is we have the right to fight the occupier, that's our international right. And if that framework, if that state of mind is the permanent state of mind, then giving them more sovereignty from the Israeli perspective, giving them more sovereignty means giving them more ability to harm, you know, Israelis, Jews, or even non-Jews, Arabs, you know, because in October 7th, we know Arabs were also killed and targeted. Anybody who was on the inside the territory of Israel was targeted. So that's the thing, the fear. I think it's the fear and the paranoia that, like,
I'm not sure it's paranoia them. Because these were communities that trusted the people around them and really had a very, very the worst type of wake up call, because and that robs trust. I just keep thinking as you're talking is how do you ever rebuild the trust to say that actually no matter what we are told that, yes, indeed, there is a desire to live side by side when history has proven otherwise.
I mean, it's you would have to have a paradigm shift on the Palestinian side, because a lot of Israelis, at least regular Israelis, I'm not talking about Netanyahu, just regular people on the street, don't technically have a problem with the idea of Palestinians living in their own towns happily, you know, having even, you know, their own elections. It doesn't really bother anybody. The problem is, again, this violence and this, like, look at Gaza for a second. I mean, if you go back to like 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, when you look at how many tunnels there are under the ground in Gaza, at one point around 2011, 2012, 2013, one in six men in Gaza was working as a tunnel constructor. One in six. Like, that means, like, it was the biggest employer of the state. You know, it was like they were building tunnels to help prepare for this massive war with Israel that they were very prepared for when October 7th happened. And And I think when you see how many years it took them to get to that point, it means they were investing state resources in, international, of course, international help. I mean, they had to have help from various places. And getting to that point meant they dedicated like their whole day, basically was how do we prepare for war? And I think Israel doesn't want to live next to a state that's going to be like a little, North Korea kind of situation. And until a paradigm shifts to where like they want to live peacefully side by side, it's going to be very difficult to rebuild that trust.
So, is there another solution? I mean, the idea of a confederation, or a long-term interim agreement, are these worth exploring?
Sure. I think that a lot of people on the peace side in Israel, I consider myself to be more on the peace side of the Israeli spectrum myself, and I feel like they've said, listen, we know that the two-state solution is so unlikely right now. Let's try it. Almost any other option would be that the key, though, is that we need Palestinians to buy into it. Whatever idea alternative you present, which I mean, there are plenty of interesting options on the table. You need a critical mass of Palestinians who support this idea. And I think that's the key is if you find an idea that both sides tentatively would support, then you can go for it. But that's tricky. Again, until we see sort of more trust, more of a shift towards like, okay, let's all live together no matter what the framework. So you need a buy-in. You need a Palestinian buy-in. So if you offer them cantons, some kind of like, okay, well, Ramallah will be free, but maybe,
Yeah, it'll never be.
I don't know.
It'll never be. It'll never work. And I'll tell you why it won't work is because of the close association with South Africa and the over-identification in terms of an apartheid state, which we know Israel isn't. But South Africa during the apartheid time created these areas, and it was seen as just a way to extend the apartheid regime. Now, it might not be at all the same thing, but it'll be labeled as that because, especially because you have bad actors who have no intention of ever really creating an environment where there is peace. We do unfortunately need to leave it there. Lots to think about, lots to talk about, and a conversation that no doubt we will continue having. That is Dr. Joel Parker. Give me your thoughts, your reaction. Do you think the two-state solution is dead? Are there other ways in which this can be pursued so that there can truly be peace in the region?